Our Father, we thank you that your word is flawless and it will never lead us astray. And so we pray that you would help us to listen well to it, that we might know the truth and love the truth and walk in the truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. There are a series of aims for Holiday Club, and they reflect some of the aims of a local church. And one of our aims is to introduce people to Jesus. That's one of the reasons that our local churches, that God has ordered things, that there are local churches all over the world, to introduce people to Jesus. Now, by introducing to Jesus, I mean more than hearing Jesus' ideas. Albert Einstein always falls into this category for me. I hear about his ideas. I don't often understand them. But I hear about them, but I know virtually nothing about him. It's only his ideas that I know. I mean more than that for introducing to Jesus. And it's more than learning to copy someone's behaviour. Kim Kardashian is in that category for me. This may be unfair. I'm not sure she has any ideas at all, but everybody seems to copy her lifestyle, or try to. So by introducing to somebody to Jesus, I mean more than... That might be a bit disturbing thought for some of you. Anyway, I mean more than just hearing Jesus' ideas and more than simply learning to copy his behaviour. But it is a personal introduction to Jesus which the church offers. And as such, like all relationships, it will in the end involve a response in our heart. I don't need a heart response to Einstein or Kardashian. But the manner in which we are aiming to introduce people to Jesus will in the end involve a response in the heart. Now, not every a deep relationship does not grow with everybody that we're introduced to. Thank goodness. But our aim as local church is to introduce others to Jesus and to keep meeting him ourselves so that our hearts are turned, maybe for the first time, maybe more and more, towards him. Now that's what John the Baptist had been doing in chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel. He'd been saying, look, I am trying to introduce you to the one who's coming after me, the Lord Jesus. And John had been saying that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. So what John is offering is not, here's a man with some ideas, here's a man with a lifestyle you might want to copy. No, here is somebody with whom there is an opportunity for a relationship in our whole selves. We will be able to know him as closely as anybody, a connection at the deepest level, because he will somehow pour his Holy Spirit into his people. That's what John said, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So John is saying, the one after me, it's going to be more than what you think, it's going to be more than what you do. It's going to be about who you love and desire. Hearts turned to him. A connection with Jesus at the deepest level in our own person. The other thing that John said, that if such a man is coming, if this Jesus is coming, the only appropriate response will be to repent. Again, to repent is not just a change of mind, not just a change of ideas. It's not just a change of behavior, learning to live in a different way. But repentance is a turning of our whole selves to Him. However small, however new, some kind of love for Him, a turning of our hearts to Jesus. That's what John is looking forward to. And then Jesus arrives in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, where John the Baptizer is. How John's heart must have leapt at that point. Here he is, the one who can baptize me on the inside with his Spirit. The one who can transform me from the inside out in every way that I need. John says, I've been preaching repentance and a baptism on the outside. But here's the one to put me in closest relationship with God so that I belong to God with a new heart for God. The one who would give his Spirit to all his people. I'm sure you remember Moses' ancient cry back in Numbers 11, verse 29. Oh, that the Lord would put his Spirit on all his people. Well, here's the one who will do that, says John. But it doesn't go quite as John planned. John is ready to be baptized by Jesus because of all that. That's what Jesus brings. John is ready to be baptized by Jesus, but Jesus is ready to be baptized by John. Verse 13, Jesus came to be baptized by John. So naturally, thinking as John does, John tried to deter him, saying, no, 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 I need to be baptized by you. You're the one who does the baptism on the inside, where I need it, in my heart, for my sin. You're the one who does that. I need to be baptized by you. You don't need this outer water baptism thing that I do. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus says, yes, I do. Let it be so now. I do come to you because this is a unique period of time. It's a unique moment in human history. Let it be so now. Something is happening here that will never be repeated. And it means that it is appropriate somehow for Jesus to be baptized by John. And the unique thing that is happening is the fulfillment of all righteousness. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And that's enough for John to understand what Jesus means somehow. And so John consented. Now, righteousness comes up all over the Bible. And righteousness, in the first place, belongs to God. Are we on screen? Oh, yeah. Good. It is God's righteousness. So Jesus is talking about a righteousness of God that is being fulfilled. Well, however many different aspects there are in the Bible about righteousness, one thing is clear. Jesus is saying all of it is being fulfilled here. Part of the fulfillment of all God's righteousness is the baptism of Jesus by John. Well, let's try and work out how that might be. So I've chosen three aspects of righteousness in the scriptures to help us to see why John now understands that it's right for Jesus to be baptized. And the first is exactly that. If something is righteous, we know that it's the right thing to do. God is righteous. He always does the right thing. So despite John's protests, it is the right thing to do. John submits to Jesus' verdict on what is the right thing to do. So John says, no, let's not baptize. Jesus says, no, we've got to do it to fulfill all righteousness. So at a very basic level, John accepts that Jesus being baptized is the right thing to do. In God's eyes, to fulfill all righteousness, this is the right thing to do. Secondly, it's the saving thing to do. It is God's righteousness, it's his righteous activity that saves people. The righteous God in the Old Testament is the God who saves. It's part of doing everything right. And so because Jesus' baptism is part of the fulfillment of all righteousness, it must be the saving thing to do. Jesus' baptism is the fulfillment of all righteousness, so it's the right thing to do, must be. It is the saving thing to do. Now, I don't think it's too difficult to see how. These are now proper questions which require answers, which I'm not going to give you. Why is Jesus, I've already told you this in the service once, so it's not too hard. Why is Jesus called Jesus? And you can use Matthew's gospel, just not even a page turn will tell you. Hands up. Katie. Because he will save his people from their sins. It's the top left hand of the page as it's open on Matthew 3. Why is Jesus called Jesus? He saves his people from their sins. Who are the kind of people who are getting baptized by John in chapter 3? Peter knows, he's not putting his hand up. Sinners. John's baptism is a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus is called Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. The kind of people who are being baptized are sinners. So who is Jesus standing amongst and with and identifying with when he is baptized? Sinners. Jesus looks for all the world like a sinner because he is baptized by John. They're the only kind of people that John baptizes. So Jesus is identifying with sinners when he's baptized. He's saying, I am standing where you stand. Now, when does Jesus do that again? Most clearly and fully taking the place of sinners. Well done. He put his hand up. I know lots of you knew. On the cross, the crucifixion, when he dies in the place of sinners. See him in Jerusalem, carrying his cross. He will save his people from their sins. Sinners are baptized. Jesus stands with them. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he puts himself in the place of sinners. And he is determined to fulfill that when he goes to the cross and stands in the place of sinners. Paul, the Apostle Paul, will put it so strongly, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. He saves his people from their sins by identifying with them and taking their place. This is the saving thing to do. To fulfill all righteousness, Jesus is baptized because he will save his people from their sins. This is God's saving righteousness, visibly seen when Jesus is baptized, determined to go to the cross. It's the right thing to do, it's the saving thing to do. And it's the faithful thing to do. God's words are righteous. I didn't do the maths, but it'd be an interesting little exercise to see whether God himself is called righteous or God's words are called righteous more in the Old Testament one than the other. Somebody will no doubt be busy tapping away now to try and work that out. Do it later. But God's words are righteous, and he promised over and over again that he would deal with his people's sins. And what Jesus is doing is the fulfillment of all righteousness, because the righteous words of God are being played out. He is faithfully keeping his word. As we'll see, Isaiah 60, was it 64? Isaiah 64 was one small example of exactly that, as we'll see in a moment. So thrilled as John is to see Jesus, thrilled as he is that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit, John now understands that Jesus standing with sinners and taking their place is the right, saving, and faithful thing for Jesus to do. God's righteousness being fulfilled. Then, after the cross and resurrection, then the Spirit will be poured out on all God's people. And with his people's sins dealt with by Jesus' death, by the power of his Spirit, he will give his people new hearts to love him. God's righteousness fulfilled. We wanted things at Holiday Club, didn't we? Lots of the youngsters are helping in Lighthouse now, so some of the refreshments team or other leaders will have to help. We have four titles that we gave Jesus on the 4 days. Can you remember? Any ideas? What was the first one? Okay, this is what we wanted. We wanted a powerful rescuer, a sin sorter, a price payer, excellent, and a promise keeper. Well done. God's righteousness fulfilled, you see? The powerful rescuer came. He didn't look powerful in the world's eyes, but he came. He sorted sin by standing in our place, paid the price for it, rose again. He keeps his promises. He did the right thing. He saves. He is faithful. Do you see how this is much more than trying to introduce people to an idea? Or it's more than just saying, oh, why not try and copy Jesus' behavior? Aren't you glad that there is someone who is God's saving righteousness for you in person? That there was someone that when he stood on the bank of the River Jordan, was considering you and your sin. And he still went down in the water to identify with us. And he pressed onto the cross to die for us. He, in his person, stood on that riverbank and considered your sin and my sin, considered you and me. And he loved us and said, yeah, I'll be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And that will be fulfilled when I fully stand in your place on the cross. Let me put it this way. Would you consider loving him because he first loved you? This is good news. But how much confidence should we have that it's all true? That is really what was happening? How sure should I be that God's saving righteousness really is on display as we read this account? How certain that Jesus is the one who is greater than John, the one who will pour out his Spirit on us. How certain, how sure, how confident should we be? Well, the answer is a clear and resounding yes. You can have every confidence. Because what unfolds next is one of the most dramatic scenes in the whole of the Scriptures. On the banks of this river, something happens which is as dramatic as anything. In the first place, Jesus comes up out of the water. Verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Salvation, the great saving purposes of God, are always in the air when someone comes up out of water. That's what's happening. Noah coming up out of water as the flood receded. Moses and the people of Israel coming up out of the Red Sea. Joshua coming up out of the Jordan with the people when they were into the Promised Land. Jesus coming up out of the water. So one of Matthew's little markers to say this is a very significant moment. But that's not the drama. The drama is that heaven is ripped open, the Spirit dives down on Jesus, and the Father thunders. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I wonder if you noticed in Isaiah, as Mark read, Isaiah said, "Rend the heavens, come down, O Lord." Isaiah had prayed and prophesied, "O God, we need you to break out of heaven and act for your people. That's what we need." And here it is. The whole of heaven acting together in full approval of the fulfillment of saving righteousness by Jesus as he comes to be baptized and everything that signifies. The Spirit is with the Son in his work. The Father is pleased with the Son and loves what he's doing and loves him. Heaven has burst open. If you'd been on the riverbank that day, and there's some discussion about what the people there would have seen or not seen and so on and so on, but we have the account. We know exactly what happened. If we'd been on that riverbank that day, we'd have been in no doubt that we could have full confidence that Jesus is the one we must turn to and the only one. At this unique time in human history, something happened once, never to be repeated. And heaven is in it, for it, making it happen. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. We can have every confidence that Jesus entered that river because he was considering you and me in our sin. We can have every confidence that Jesus came out of that water in order to walk to the cross, to walk to his death because he was considering you in your sin and me in mine. We can have every confidence that he baptizes everyone who turns to him with his Holy Spirit. Because having paid for our sin, he powerfully rescues us from the inside. And we learn to love him. We can have every confidence that in this unique time, the time when Jesus lived amongst us, died and rose, all righteousness was fulfilled. John was quite right. We do need Jesus to baptize us. but not before he had laid down his life for us. So let's not just know his ideas. Let's not just copy his behavior. Let's grow together in love for him. Let's learn to love the one who first loved us. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at each of the temptations in the temptation narrative. There will be enormous cause to love the Lord Jesus more and more when we go through those passages. His teaching through Matthew's gospel will cause us to love him. His example will cause us to love him. That's all to come. Let's grow together in love for him. Let's introduce others to him, and let's encourage one another in him. But for now, we're going to pray. Then we're going to sing the bold typed verses. People have been moaning about long psalms. I didn't write the psalms. So we'll just sing the bold ones, but I've given you the whole text. And we're going to pray, then we'll sing about, we'll recognize God's true saving King, the Lord Jesus, through the psalm. And then we will remember at the table again with the bread and wine how in our place, he condemned, he stood. As we love him because he first loved us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how great is your love for us. As we hear the account of Jesus on that riverbank, determined to identify with sinners and to take our place. Father, we thank you that you are the righteous God who saves. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would indeed love you and your Son more and more. We would know you better and better. And Father, that will change our thinking and it will change our behavior. But Father, it is the change in our hearts to turn our whole selves towards you, which we ask you to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.